You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering.
Step back, another three. Puts it in! Jason Tatum is scorching right now. Sidestep, puts up another three. Bang! The Tatum tornado continues. He's got 41. Tatum fires away. Puts it in! 51 for Jason Tatum.
I can't help it. Tatum tornado just gives me a chuckle. That is the sound of Celtics superstar Jason Tatum making history. He owned the stage on Sunday, 51 points, breaking the record that Steph Curry set for most points in a Game 7 just last month as the Celtics knocked the Philadelphia 76ers out of the playoffs at TD Garden. The Celtics headed back to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they'll face a surging Miami Heat in a rematch of last year. For those of you who don't know how this works, the winner of that goes to the NBA Finals. Joining us now, Abby Chin, Celtics reporter for NBC Sports Boston. Happy belated Mother's Day to you, Abby.
Thank you, Tiziana. I am getting to celebrate with my son, who has a teacher conference day that I had no idea about until this morning.
Well, that is motherhood right there, Abby.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Also on the line, Jonathan Marshall, sports reporter for WMUR. Hey there, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys? Glad to be back here.
Great
to doing well.
Great to have you. And here in Studio 2, Radio Boston producer Kyrie Thompson, who's a former sports reporter for Boston.com and WEEI.
Great to be back. And Abby, I completely feel your pain. I've had that happen like three or four times.
So locked into Game 7, a little too locked in, maybe.
So let's make the rotation here, because I want to ask each of you what you made of what Jason Tatum did last night in a winner-take-all Game 7. And I want to give a little context for listeners who aren't following super closely. He had not had a great couple of games before Game 7. So I'm just randomly, Jonathan Marshall, you go first.
Yeah, I mean, on a stage like that, Game 7, you have the league's actual MVP in Joel Embiid on the floor, James Harden, a Hall of Famer, Jaylen Brown, who's been amazing this series, Jason Tatum, who was in the MVP conversation this season. So in Game 7, when his team needed him the most, when you talk about putting guys in that elite conversation, superstars, MVPs, those are the moments that we talk about, the Steph Curry moments, LeBron James, Kevin Durant. Like, these are the moments that we look back on in the careers of players, and this is a game that Tatum can always go back to, that we can always go back to. We were there. I remember when he dropped 51 Game 7 against the league's MVP. So it was huge.
Abby, did it have that feel like this is history happening in front of us right now?
Without question, it absolutely did. I think for the better part of the series, which is 7 games, and that is so much time on the floor facing off against each other, you could argue that Jason Tatum was not the best player on the floor. I mean, yes, I understand that Joel Embiid was named the MVP, but last night was the absolute reverse of that. And you could feel it from the jump. Jason had a different swagger. His swagger was back. I can tell you from being in the building in Game 6 when Jason started that game, 1-for-14, it was so odd and something that I had never seen from him, and something that I feel like you rarely see from a superstar player of his magnitude, the level of frustration and struggle he was dealing with. But once he broke through and hit a fallaway three in the fourth quarter, I mean, that thing was done. And I asked Marcus Smart after the game was over last night, when did you know that Game 7 would be different for Jason? And he said after Game 6 ended. There was no way he was going to play like that again. And he was phenomenal last night.
And for listeners, Joel Embiid is actually a member of the Philadelphia 76ers, and had been injured, kind of came back. And that context of this playoff series, these 7 games, really matters. So Kyrie, as you react, we got a little there from Abby about the games before.
Yeah.
Put that context into this mix as you react to what we saw last night.
Well, when it came back to the first couple games of the series, where you got the feeling that the 76ers really punched the Celtics in the mouth a little bit with James Harden going off for big games and then stealing a game in overtime that you thought the Celtics should have won. And then you get in this 3-2 situation where the Celtics were in this exact spot last year against the Milwaukee Bucks. And people were saying, well, this is, you got to have your moment, Jason Tatum. And he did. And that's what I think I find so interesting about this. People saying that Jason Tatum has to have this crazy moment where he puts the team on his back. He did that last year. It's been within him to do it. It's about the consistency. And you know what? When you talk about Marcus Smart making that comment about Tatum, knowing it was going to be different, Tatum said after game six, after all that struggle that he went through and the mental fortitude to pull that off, he said, humbly, I'm one of the best players, one of the best basketball players in the world. And he went out and he proved it. And I think you could see the confidence in him to know that, you know what, even when it's not going right for me, I know how good I am. And I'm going to show you all how good I am.
So, Jonathan Marshall, one of the things that was also interesting has been the interactions between Boston Celtics players, the media, the fans, et cetera. Jaylen Brown made some waves by telling the Boston fans that they needed to actually step up when the Boston Celtics came back to the TD Garden for Game 7. He called out their energy in the Celtics' loss at home in Game 5, but then here's what he had to say after Game 7.
Called the Garden out last game, and way to respond. The energy in the building was through the roof. It was amazing. Everybody that was in the building, anybody that was, you know, cheering for the Celtics, I feel like we could feel that energy tonight, and it definitely carried over. So we're going to definitely need some more of that going forward. So that was fun. That was a great basketball environment.
I wanted to talk to you about that because I've been asking you to sort of analyze the Celtics from the beginning of the season, all kinds of things. I've never asked you, Jonathan, what role do the fans play in making sure they make it to the finals?
I mean, it's a huge role, right? That's why you have that home court advantage. That's why you play so hard during the season to get that. It's no doubt that having that extra urging, that extra support from the fans, that energy. When Jaylen Brown says that was an exciting basketball environment, I mean, that's a real thing. And playing in that gym, when that arena, when those fans, I've been inside the Garden during those playoff moments, when it's just so, you can't even hear yourself talk or think. It's just an amazing environment to be in. And that can be sort of challenging for a road team to compete against, especially if you're throwing out that first knockout punch, a la yesterday in the third quarter, when you get those fans going, that can be so detrimental to the opposing team. That can uplift the home team like the Celtics did last night. So I think it's huge.
And Kyrie, I'm just realizing this just now. I don't know how this works in the series against the Heat. I'm going to go back to Abby in just a second, but how does this work in the series against the Heat?
Well, because the Boston Celtics were the second seed in the Eastern Conference and the Miami Heat were the eighth seed. So they were like literally the last seeded team that could get in. The Celtics will have home court advantage, which they did not have in that series last year when they faced off in the Eastern Conference Finals. They went to Miami for Game 7 and stole that game out there in Miami, which, again, huge, because that building was rocking too. This time around, the Celtics will have that advantage.
All right, so Abby, the last time we talked to you a little bit about Coach Joe Mazzulla, because he had just snapped at the press for not giving him enough credit for adjustments that he had made in games. So here is a little bit of sound about from Marcus Smart. He had some interesting comments last week hinting that Joe Mazzulla was rightfully criticized at times for his coaching. Then he clarified some of those comments over the weekend. Here that is.
But at the end of the day, it's his decision. You know, if it works, we don't say nothing. If it doesn't, then obviously you have to look at it. But that's the point of taking the criticism and moving on, you know, being coachable, being able to learn. You know, the great players, the great, you know, coaches, they're able to learn. You know, even if they make a mistake, they don't let it deter them. They keep going and they learn from it.
And then he made some big adjustments, including putting Robert Williams in, starting him in the big do-or-die Game 6 after having him come off the bench the whole series before. So, one, are you going to give him credit for some big changes in coaching? And what about his own team, sort of talking about his greenness, his adjustments, how he handles that criticism, et cetera?
Well, I think you do have to give him credit because the Celtics did come through and win the series. The challenge does only get harder from here for him going up against Eric Spoelstra, who is a bona fide Hall of Famer when it gets to that point against the Miami Heat. But I will go back and say that I think you're right, Tiziana. Everyone who was in the room that night that Marcus Smart made those comments about Joe Mazzulla just kind of was taken aback. But to me, what I go back to is two things and two words that Joe Mazzulla has used from the beginning of the season when he was thrust into this position a couple days before training camp. The first word is humility, and that's something that he uses. It's something that allows the role players who may not be the superstars and may not have the role they envision for themselves, but if you're humble enough and play for the team, that is the best for everyone. And then the second word that he uses often is collaborative. Joe Mazzulla will be the first to tell you that, yes, he understands he is new. This is his first year in his position. He doesn't know everything. And so he is looking for input. He is looking for help and trying to find the best solutions to the problems that are presented to him in a minute-by-minute, second-by-second, possession-by-possession basis. And so I think what stands out about Joe and those comments is how he took them, how he rolled with it, and did take the players' input into account, and the result was a victory. So yes, I think Joe Mazzulla absolutely does deserve credit for that.
We're talking with, we're talking about kind of a stunning Game 7 from the Boston Celtics last night, putting them into the Eastern Conference Finals. It's a playoff against the Miami Heat. If they win it, they go to the NBA Finals. We're talking with Abby Chin, Celtics reporter for NBC Sports Boston, Jonathan Marshall of WMUR, and Radio Boston producer Kyrie Thompson. Jonathan, I'm going to turn back to you now, and we're going to start to look forward to what comes next, right? Always mindful that not all of our listeners are sort of diehard basketball fans, but that we are at a point where the play is so high. The excellence is so great, the pace is so fast, that if you want to turn in, there is something fun to watch no matter who you are. So start teaching us a little bit about what to watch for now that the Celtics go up against Miami. What can you watch for and learn from no matter what your sort of basketball watching skill level might be?
Well, I mean, these teams are very familiar, right? They played each other last year. They went to seven games. So there's a lot of familiarity with these two franchises, two championship winning franchises. Get familiar with Jimmy Butler, the Miami Heat superstar, Bam Adebayo. Those are the two top guys for the Heat. You're talking about the Heat. You're talking about the Heat culture. This is a team that has found a way to find these sort of hidden gems, undrafted free agents, and finding a way to develop them and give them the confidence to star in their roles. And so it's the Heat culture versus the talent and the depth of the Boston Celtics. So that's sort of an intriguing storyline for me. The Celtics, to me, are the more talented team. But as we've seen with the Celtics, sometimes they can get in their own way and they can make things difficult, more difficult than what they need to be. And against the Heat, you don't want to do that against a team like Miami Heat, who will capitalize against your self-inflicted wound, so to speak. So I think that'll be an interesting storyline. Can the Celtics not just rely on their talent, but stay mentally locked in? Because if their shots are falling, I think the Celtics should win this series and go back to the finals.
And Abby, talk about the whole self-inflicted wounds piece, right? So this is two rounds in the playoffs now where we've seen the Celtics essentially, arguably, make it harder on themselves than they needed to. I do wonder, is there a point where the level of excellence gets so high that you can't get away with that anymore? And or if you've seen anything from the team that makes you think they're done doing that?
Well, we are going to find out if there is a breaking point in that. But yes, Tiziana, I don't think that there is a basketball expert out there who will say there is a more talented team overall as far as depth from top to bottom, your top seven players, which is really what is most important in the playoffs, that is left in the tournament, essentially. And so the Celtics have the talent. It's a matter of harnessing that and then executing the game plans to a T, which, as you just mentioned, is paramount in the postseason. The problem the Celtics have is generating the sense of urgency that is required at this level, in these moments, if their backs aren't against the wall. And we saw that in the first round against Atlanta. If they could have closed out that Atlanta team that they were clearly far superior than in four games, that means they could have had two games in that next series, possibly, where because of that knee injury to Joel Embiid, they could have faced the Sixers without the MVP. Instead, it took them six games to take care of Atlanta, and then they only had one game to play the Sixers without Joel Embiid on the floor. And so it happened again in an opportunity at home in front of the fans at TD Garden with a closeout opportunity against the Sixers to get to the next round, to take a commanding 3-2 series lead, and they failed at that attempt as well. And this is a trend that has been going on for the last 2 years, even though the Celtics come through in those moments when they have to,
yep.
They just have a tendency, as we say, to play with their food. And so it's something that has not necessarily bit them yet, But like you said, we're going to find out if it will.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it there. Abby Chin, Celtics reporter for NBC Sports Boston, Jonathan Marshall, WMUR, and Radio Boston's Kyrie Thompson. Thanks to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.